I just want to share a picture that I saw during the last 10 days. And many of you know that, what was it, just over 2 weeks ago, the mountain again burned down. Now, did you? Everybody's surprised when the mountain goes and burns. And then I'm like, but isn't that kind of what happens in nature? The stuff burn. I must tell you a funny story. Years ago when I was still in Every Nation in Stellenbosch, we had this prayer and we were praying. We were fervently praying there, actually in an upper room. And all the staff and some of the key students and so on, we were praying for God's fire to fall. And, you know, we were really just seeking His face and everything. And then we had, I think it was a 3 day. On day two, the mountains around Stellenbosch caught the light and started burning. Ended up being this like major fire that they haven't seen. It spread Verliersdorp, everything. And we were going, Lord, sorry, we meant the Holy Spirit, not actual fire. So we can neither confirm nor deny that we were the result of that fire burning on those mountains. But you know, it was such a powerful physical demonstration what we believed God wanted to do in us as a church. Go slow and slide up. Yeah, this is the mountain burning. This is actual pictures of this time around where when the fire was raging, and you know, everybody was there, or the firefighters trying to put this out. And then the next slide obviously is the result of that fire. This looks terrible. Have you ever driven, you know, where the fire is burning, you drive past and you just see this black stubble and there's nothing. And you would think, if you look at that, how can this mountain, how can it even look good again? You know, this is destruction. This is the end. Makes you think of Revelation, you know, where He says He's going to destroy everything with fire. Must we restart this thing? Sweetheart, can you? She's got power with the finger. Can you just log out quickly? Sorry, guys, this camera is just doing, leave the meeting and join the meeting. Yeah, sorry. I just see this, then it's black, then it's not, then it's, so I don't think the poor people on the other side is getting this. All right, just remember to pin that now. Hopefully it will stay there. Okay, so, but this is the picture after a fire has gone through. This is what I sort of saw in the spirit, is sort of this kind of look that is happening, that it's destruction. It's not really not looking good. And then for that to change, what needs to happen? It needs to rain. It needs to rain. And when the rain falls, this happens. Life start returning. It springs up from a place. I mean, don't you, if you look at a desert, there's no life in the desert, and then it rains. You know, it's amazing to me how I can have no bosses in my garden, but just mess with the soil and put water down, and suddenly I have reaper harvest of bosses that has never been there. And it's incredible how in that soil, the seed is there, the life is there, and all it needs is rain. That's all it needs, is just a bit of rain. So what I believe, you know, this last, what I felt God say to me is this last year or so with COVID and everything, it was like there was a destruction came in. Like the fire started and it burned out everything. Now the reality is, even if the stuff grow again, you know that mountain will never look the same again as it did before the fire, right? Because plants are going to come up in different places. You know, and a tree suddenly is going to grow because its seed was there and the fire now exposed it or whatever. And suddenly, when we look at the mountain, it's not going to have the same facade. It's still going to be green, but it won't look the same again as before. And I believe as the rain of the Spirit of God starts falling on the church, as that life starts springing up, the church will be alive again, but it will not look the same. Now, is this true for your life? You know, are you trusting the Holy Spirit to rain down on your life this morning so that there will be life, so that there will be transformation, that there will be change? Maybe you know, some people went through COVID and it's like a non-issue. For others, it was a huge psychological and physical issue. Some people lost their jobs, money, etc. And you know what? Maybe your life is not going to look the same as what it looked before COVID and everything that went on. But let's trust the Holy Spirit when His rain comes. When He is poured out on earth, when that strength and that beauty returns, that yes, there will be life and it will not look the same as before, but it will be more beautiful. And it will reflect His glory. And in a sense, that is what I'm trusting the Holy Spirit for this morning, is for that rain to fall in our midst. On that parched land, on that dead soil, on that burned soil this morning, that the rain of the Holy Spirit will come and saturate you so that life can spring. Now, please, don't do this whole, you know, 21st century Christian thing. You know, Lord, I want life in my life. Thank you, Father. You know, God can do that. We understand that. Miraculously bring life. But, you know, sometimes it's in the journey. We don't see rain fall in the next morning, the plants are standing this high, right? So expect God to bring life where there's places where there were barrenness and deadness in your life. Trust God, you know, maybe you flowed in gifts before that are not, you're not operating in. Let's trust God this morning to activate that stuff in your life again. That there will be life. That His rain will fall on your life and there will be life and it will look different. You know, maybe God's going to stir in your heart this morning passion for something that you haven't been passionate about ever. So if you wake up tomorrow morning, if you've got this huge urge for China to go on a mission, then maybe that's the Holy Spirit stirring in your life. Maybe you wake up and He says, you know, you need to go pray for someone or minister to someone, share a word with someone. That is the life that the Holy Spirit wants to bring in every one of our hearts. And that is the faith expectation that we need to have. Saints, we cannot just going on doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. What is our faith this morning? Are you going to trust God for rain in your life? You see, if God says to you this morning, let it be according to your faith, what will happen? What's going to transpire in your life? What will spring up if He says that to you? Let it be to you according to your faith. You know, that scares me because I don't want to have too little faith. That thing is true according to Scripture. Faith, like a mustard seed, does incredible things. You know, that fire on the mountain wasn't started by someone picking up a blowtorch and, you know, going with a blowtorch. It was a small fire, a spark that lit that thing. And all you need this morning is the Holy Spirit to strike that fire in your life, to bring life back. I believe God wants to do incredible stuff through this congregation, specifically through our lives, through your life, through my life. And all we need to do is position ourselves in such a place this morning that we can receive the rain of God in our lives so that we can have life, that the fruit will come. Is that what you want this morning? Amen. Are you thirsty for the Spirit of God to fall on your life? And I realize today, it's actually like no other day. We can walk in what happened on the day of Pentecost every day. We're just today celebrating it. Maybe putting a bit of an emphasis on it. But it's something, think about this, that when the power of the Holy Spirit came, it's something that we as Christians can walk in every day. Being saturated by the Holy Spirit. Man, I desire that so for my own life at the moment. I want more of the Holy Spirit because I know He's got great things in store for us. I just want to complete His mission. Do what He wants to do in this earth and then die. But I won't die until he's done. So let's expect great things. John 16 verse 7 says this in the Amplified. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. You know the scripture, it was to our advantage that Jesus left. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I go, I do not go away, the helper, in the Amplified, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby. There's so much in there of what the Holy Spirit comes to do in your and my life, isn't it? It is loaded. You need comfort, he does that. You need someone to fight for you, he's an advocate. Have you ever met an advocate? Scary people, huh? Vast Nandi. Scary people, right? They can do stuff. Intercessor. I mean, continually before the Father for you and for me. He's your counselor. We go see people so easily for counseling. He's your counselor. He's the one that strengthens you. He's the one that stands by you. So it was beneficial that Jesus went away, because then he will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to come to you, to be in close fellowship with you. You know, if you desire nothing else this morning, at least this desire the close fellowship of the Holy Spirit in your life. The close fellowship. So why was Pentecost necessary? Because if I think about this, the impact of one man can only be so much. Your life, my life, can only achieve that much. It's not going to go further. You can only reach so many people. If Jesus stayed, the impact of his life would have been limited. You could only touch so many lives. This is not on the slides. Can you think of the challenge of teaching the whole world, or Jesus wanting to spread the gospel to the whole world if it was just him? Okay, no, but what do you say? Corbus, he taught 12. He spent time with 12, even the 120. How long do you think the 120 would have taken to spread the gospel in the whole earth if we did not have the Holy Spirit? It's like Mission Impossible. So Jesus goes, I'm leaving, but I'm sending to you the Holy Spirit to be with you, to comfort you, to teach you, to be your advocate, etc., to help you. So we are, in army terms, loaded. You know, in terms of having a belt full of bullets, I mean, when you have the Holy Spirit, it's you loaded. That's hand grenades and it's rocket launchers, and I mean, for war, you are ready. For those that haven't been armed to army, I for sure for schooling. Watch a Rambo movie. Maybe that helps. Acts 1 verse 8, and we know this very well, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will be my witnesses to testify about me in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know what power means? We know, you know, that dunamis power. Power means impact. If there's power, there's impact. Stuff has to change. There needs to be, when you receive that power, your life will have impact. You cannot say to me that you have the Holy Spirit and lives around you are not being transformed, because that is the very thing that his power brings, is impact in other people's lives. Your own, yes, but so much more that spill over into everybody else around you. There will be impact through the message that you preach, through the love that is in you, because is that not what he does? He shows and he reveals to us the Father heart. I mean, come on, how can you not love? There will impact through miracles. It is so cool when we pray for people and they are healed. It is incredible. But you know, Even as I was preparing this week, I kind of felt the pressure that today needs to be out of the ordinary. And this whole week I've been walking with it going, Lord, you know, what must I do? What words must I preach? How can I, you know, stir them up? What needs to happen? And I realized I can do zip. Because the truth is, unless the Holy Spirit is here this morning, I can't fake it. I've got nothing. I'm but an empty vessel. And that's the photo that's behind there. It's just empty vessels. Unless we are filled up. You see, and the result of that impact will be people's lives will be transformed. So saints, even as we desire the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even as we desire more of the Holy Spirit, please just know it's not for your own benefit. It's not for you to have goosebumps and feel good about yourself. It's for people to be transformed. And that's if you look at the disciples when they received the Holy Spirit, lives will transform many people, nations. The very reason why we're sitting here this morning. How can we not walk in that legacy? The very purpose of the Holy Spirit. But is that the only purpose of the Holy Spirit, to come and give us power? How does the reign of the Spirit fall in our lives? Good question. See, is the function of the Holy Spirit just for that power to witness? Yes, it's a crucial function in our lives, absolutely. He wants to do that in your life. And yes, I guess most of us sitting here will go like, but you know, I'm not an evangelist. You're not expected to be one. Just be a son and a daughter of God. Share the love of Jesus to those around you. That's all you must do. Just be Christ. You see, it's only through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we can effectively proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Without the indwelling Holy Spirit, we cannot do that effectively. And that is what He wants to do in your life and my life this morning. We can only proclaim this good news of the gospel if we have the Holy Spirit. See, otherwise, we will default to religion, rules and regulations and so on. But when we have the Holy Spirit, it brings the love of the Father, the passion for people to see their lives transformed and changed. That is incredible. It's not just about the rules. So how does the rain fall in our lives? I want to read 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 to 18 in the TPT version. So TPT version is almost like the Message Bible, just not as extreme. Just changes the words a bit more English. Now, the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit. And wherever He is Lord, there is freedom. We can all draw close to Him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. So a few things in that scripture. Firstly, where the Holy Spirit is, freedom is. Where the Holy Spirit is, freedom reigns. When He comes into your life, there will be freedom. So if you are battling with stuff, just be filled with the Spirit. Get more of the Holy Spirit in your life. Spend more time with Him. Where His Lordship is established, freedom will flow. You see, the more I submit under the Lordship of the Holy Spirit, under His power in my life, the more free I will be. The more He will be able to use me even to minister to others. You know, sometimes we make such a big issue of the thing that we're struggling with that it almost becomes an idol. Maybe I should just get more of God in my life and allow Him to deal with the idol. Because trust me, Him and sin cannot live in the same house. When He moves in, something needs to go. You want to get free from stuff? You see, he is the truth, and what happens when the truth walks in? You are set free. You are set free. You see, he carries the message of the Father that will tell you exactly who you are, who you were meant to be, what he sees on your life. Everybody else's second opinion might even be a lie. Wherever, anywhere that the devil is involved, that's a lie. In any case, so. See, to walk in true freedom, we do need to walk in the Spirit. Romans makes that clear. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Whew. Come on. Then the Holy Spirit helps us to draw close to God. It's like, you know, he's dwelling inside of me. The immediate result of that is intimacy with the Father. When he is present, I'm with the Father. Why? Because they are three in one. I cannot have the Holy Spirit and not be intimate with the Father or with Jesus. They are three in one. They do, oh, that, you know, I battled with that one as a child. And initially, eventually I realized, just, I can't figure this out. This is obviously God. I don't get it. I just believe it. And then he unveils our face that we see the glory of God. It's like whatever hinders your sight from truly seeing the Father, he removes that thing. He takes it away. He takes away the shame and the stuff that's even keeping you from there. He removes stuff so that I can be in the presence of Almighty God. So sad that when we face stuff that we run from him, because we then do not allow the Holy Spirit to unveil our faces, to bring us into intimacy with him, to have us sit with the Father at his table, feasting with him in the presence of our enemies. That's what he wants to do in our lives. But then we go, Holy Spirit, don't worry, I've got this. I know how to solve this one. And all he's saying, listen, can I just unveil God's glory over you? What happened when Moses met God? He came back and his face was lit. He was shining. That they said, Moses, maak toe jou gesig, champ. Jou brights is on. And here's Moses, and he's going like, what's wrong with you? And they're like, we can't see, but you're so bright. May that happen to us. May Jesus be seen on us. Then, when our faces are unveiled, we become mirrors reflecting the glory of our Father. Now, I've got a small demonstration this morning, because I realize maybe we don't get this one so lekker. Who wants to volunteer? Bring, kom net vat die spieël. All right, so you can take the mirror, Jimmy's, and I want you to stand there at the back with the mirror pointing to me. I will represent the Lord this morning. Okay. So, pick you up, pick you up. Nee, hou so voor jou, maar tilt. Nee, jy kan sak. So, okay. Bietjie tilt en bietjie af. Ek wil myself sien, champ. Bietjie op. Ja, dis so ek probeer jou guide. Okay, see, this is exactly what we do. Lord, where are you? You know, Father, I can't see you. I'm supposed to reflect you. I'm not there. Ah, I see the roof, Lord. Oh, no, I see the floor. What the heck's happening here? But, I see the roof, champ. Now I see the floor. Ek sien nou die pulpit hier aan onderkant. Bietjie die kant toe. Ja, te veel. Yes. Yes. See, this is the thing about a mirror. Jy kan so stadig na my toe loop. If a mirror is far, its effectiveness, or it still does its job, doesn't it? It still reflects what is in there. But what do we see? Everything else. The more I draw closer to God, the more I spend time with the Holy Spirit. What will I reflect? Kom ons draai om. You see, I can do the same. What do I reflect if he, this message is him, still the same? He can't even find me. And then the Holy Spirit says, no, come closer. Draw closer to the Father. You see, because the closer I get, the focus becomes easier. So much easier to find God if I'm closer. What happens if this is my life? Then I reflect His glory. Thank you, Sian. So the Holy Spirit is inviting you and me. We are called to reflect His glory. Our effectiveness is determined by our proximity to Him, our closeness to Him, how much time I spend to Him. You know, sometimes we get frustrated because, you know, we can, and sometimes we are just too harsh with ourselves, but we don't see the effects of God in our lives. But man, when you spend time with Him, when the face is unveiled, when you're in His presence, then we reflect the glory of our Father. Then we are transformed. Not the mirror. Well, not God. The image in the mirror is transformed as we draw close to Him. We change the more I spend time in His presence. And I don't think we can ever understand the transformation that happens when we are in His presence like that. And this morning, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to draw us close to you. How else does the rain of the Spirit fall in our lives? First, Philippians 2 verse 13 says that, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. The TPT version says, God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases Him. You see, when I'm there with Him, He works in me, and I do stuff that pleases Him, that impacts other lives. He still came to save the world. He's still about people. John 16 verse 13 says this, but when the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will unveil the reality of every truth within you. He won't speak of His own, but only what He hears the Father, and He will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. So as the Holy Spirit comes, the truth comes, He will speak to us what the Father wants to speak to us, which for us at this time is so crucial to hear what is God's agenda for this nation, for this generation, for this people, for each one of us. So the Spirit must come. And then 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6 says this, He alone makes us adequate ministers. You want to be an adequate minister of the gospel? It's only through Him. Through His presence in you, He makes us adequate ministers who focus on an entirely new covenant. So it's not about the law and the stuff anymore. It's about salvation. It is about the love of the Father for people. It is the new covenant, not the law. Obviously, He's speaking in the context of the law versus what Jesus did in His time. But for us here, come on. We are ministers of this new covenant. Our ministry is not based on the letter of the law, but through the power of the Spirit. You see, we cannot preach the gospel with a bunch of rules and regulations. Yes, there's God's stuff God expects us to do, absolutely. But it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. For you and me to minister the love of the Father with the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, lives has to be transformed. Your life, my life, everybody. Awesome stuff. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit pours out life. That life, where that rain falls, where the Spirit comes, life springs up. Your life, there will be fruit. Why? Because the rain of the Spirit is in your life. So your band can come up so long, because now we're going to worship from here, and I just want to conclude this. See, we cannot live this life without the Holy Spirit. Let's not fool ourselves any longer to think that I can do the Son of God thing without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the reality is that He has come. He lives in your life. And this morning we need to surrender and say, Father, here is our lives. We are trusting you to use this life for your glory. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us in His fullness. You know how I desire this morning, is that the Holy Spirit will come. And I almost feel like I don't have enough capacity for Him, but He is God and He can fit into this vessel and use it for His glory. It's almost like, you know, dropping something in a glass of water is just covered by the water. And that's kind of the picture in my head is, Holy Spirit, I just want to be dropped into you so that it's all about you. First Corinthians 6 verse 19 to 20 says this, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? The Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This morning we sit here, and you know, we all confess that we are children of God. We were bought with a price. And His Spirit dwells in us. We need to allow Him to use this body for His glory. And this morning as we worship and we come before the Lord, I hope that each one of us sitting here this morning is now desiring more of the Holy Spirit, of what He wants to do, where He wants to go with your life. You know, Pentecost did not just transform the disciples' lives, it transformed the world. And we are way more than 12 here this morning. So just think of the impact that the Holy Spirit can have through us in this world. Come on, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. So we're going to worship the Lord, and I want to ask if you, the altar is open, you can come. If you want prayer, please ask for prayer, but I want you just to meet with God, and we're just going to flow with whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do from here on. We're not going to be in a rush. We're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to move here in our midst this morning.
Yeah, as we're singing the song, and we sing about the angels crying out to God, and it's just our natural response. That's what God has placed in us. Like the angels can't help themselves but to want to praise and to worship God. They cry out, and the same with us, as Kubus also spoke about, that grass shooting up after the fire. And that's nature, that's natural. is life. To want to come forth and to shoot up, and nothing can restrain it, keep it back, even a drought. And I just felt like as we are worshiping and we are inviting the Holy Spirit to come and move in our lives this morning, that sometimes we don't understand it, or we have fear, we're afraid, and it's almost like this pressure to perform, that we have to do something for God, but it's not. It's absolutely God's God-given desire in each one of us, and we know that God's our heart, a man's pursuit is to please God. That's what the Bible says, is that that's our desire, is to please God, and that is just by loving Him. That's His greatest command to us, is to actually love Him, and just to love Him back. And it's just something simple, but I just feel like just surrender. And if you want to pray for something, if you want to just come and just name something that you actually wanting to praise God and to serve Him in, but there's actually like a fear holding you back. That's not normal. It's not natural for us to be restrained or to be held back from fully just worshiping, praising Him with the passion, with the life that's in us. It's almost like there's restrictions that's keeping us from wanting to just fully serve and worship and praise Him. So I just want to encourage you that if you feel that it is God's desire, it's the Holy Spirit in us that's just prompting us and pointing us in our hearts that there's something that He's stirring up in you to worship and to praise Him. And if you don't know what it is, that's also fine. But just surrender and just tell the Lord maybe this morning that, God, my desire is to live for You, to use the giftings, the talents that You've given me. And it's just beautiful. And God just wants, like Kuba said, He's like that mirror image. He just wants to pour His love out. He just wants you to commune with Him and to have relationship with Him this morning. It's not a performance thing. So if there's someone who wants to respond, please come forward. Stephen, you're also welcome to share.
I just want to add to what Kuba said. You know, when Jamel was standing with a mirror, I never realized it's so difficult to focus a mirror. Just to get Him to find me was a mission. And maybe that's your life this morning, that you feel, you know, that you're not focusing. You're missing, actually, you know, God in certain areas of your life. So this morning, just if you want to come and bring your life and just surrender that focus, that closeness to God, to focus your mirror, so to speak, just to add to what Kuba said.
A prophecy that has been fulfilled in Isaiah 9. To the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death the light has dawned. And everything that Corbus mentioned about any hindrances, it says, for as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning and will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And just to reiterate that God's, this prophecy, God has delivered it, and it's done.
So I just, as we worshiped, I just felt that there is some people here that you grasp this truth and you can accept the fact that God wants to pour out His Spirit on you, but you look at yourself as this vessel that has flaws, and it looks like this little crooked vessel. And if you go to the factory shop, a clay factory shop, there's this one room where you can buy the cheap stuff because it's rejected. And you feel like you as a person has gone astray so far that you are in a certain sense rejected. But this morning God wants to say to you that doesn't matter how you look, doesn't matter how you feel, just be an empty vessel, just bring your vessel, just come as you, just as you are, and bring yourself before God. He wants to fill you. None of the disciples were perfect. All of them were broken vessels. But God used them just because they were available. When Jesus called them and said to them, follow me, they just came as they are with dirt under their fingernails. They just followed him. And by the outpouring of the Spirit in their life, the change came.
Morning, church. I just want to share a word with you, and I feel that we need to corporately respond to the word. And while praying there, I was, you know, feeling God is saying to us as a church that we are lacking boldness. And God just took me to to the verse that was shared this morning, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I'm asking God, like, what does it mean to walk in freedom? And I felt God saying that freedom is connected with boldness. And I want to ask this question to, like, all of us. Can we truly say that we're walking in boldness? And if we aren't walking in boldness, are we actually walking in freedom? And are we actually trusting and walking in the Spirit of God to walk in freedom? Because to walk in freedom is actually to be bold. And then it's God asking me again, are we bold? And God took me to two scriptures in the Bible. Now, before I share it, I also want to say that I felt God saying that we should actually ask Him to give us boldness. We should pray and ask God, make us bold. And I think the reason we aren't doing that is because, first of all, we're ashamed of what other people will think. And I think we are ashamed to admit and to tell God, I'm bold, I'm not bold. And I think we don't go to that place of asking God to make us bold. I don't know about you, and I don't know if we don't pray for boldness. We don't ask. It's not in our prayer life, God, make us bold, because I think we're too afraid of coming to that place of admitting that we aren't bold. And God took me to two scriptures in the Bible, in the book of Acts, and I want to read it to you. And God is saying, look at what the disciples, look how they lived, look at their lifestyle, look what they prayed. And the first one is in Acts 2 verse 2 that says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And this is the coming of the Holy Spirit. So this is a big thing for the disciples, because the Spirit of God is telling them and filling their tongues, He's telling them what to say. So they were bold as ever, and they did mighty things. And again in Acts 4, they faced persecution. And I was reading this and telling God, like, God, what is our persecution? Because if you look at the disciples, they were commanded, they were forbidden to speak the word of Jesus. And I felt God saying that the only persecution that we face today is we are persecuting ourselves from sharing the word of God. And when the disciples were faced with persecution, it says, I want to read this, it says,
For truly against, and they speaking to the Lord yet, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, where the Gentiles and the people of Israel will gather together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. And they're telling God, Lord, look on the threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak a word. So this is after the Holy Spirit came to them. They went again to God and said, God, we lack boldness. We need boldness. And then it says that with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And I want us as a church to respond with this, and I want us actually to come to a place where we're asking ourselves, am I lacking boldness? And I want us to respond by coming forward and praying for one another to receive boldness. Because if the disciples could do that, and if they could have been so honest to one another and telling them and the people around them that we lack boldness, I think if we do that as a church, God will fill us with that boldness to go and do what the disciples has done. So I want us to corporately respond to this word, and I want us to, yeah, to come forward and be honest with ourselves where we are, because the whole thing of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, I think God is showing us that we aren't bold enough. We need boldness.